We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We just got to be tougher. We got to put up more of a fight. I don't think that we did that. And then it doesn't help whenever we don't make shots. It's been that way all year long. Whenever we start to miss a couple shots, we don't do what we're supposed to do on the other end. You know, I think we should always think about letting our defense, for sure our rebounding, start it all for us, and then, you know, hopefully we start to make shots.
All right, that was Jimmy Butler after last night's game, Miami Heat and the L.A. Lakers. The Lakers up 1-0 now in this series. We're going to talk to Rajah Bell right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. The Ringer guy, he's a podcast. He does everything, Rajah Bell. But we'll talk to him now about last night's game. Rajah, welcome. As always, thank you for a couple minutes. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Rajah, help me out. It wasn't just one thing. I was going, man, I can't wait to talk to Rajah to try to figure out that crap show last night, plus you injured some key guys get injured. What do you do if you're the Miami Heat after what took place after the first 6 minutes of that game?
Yeah, that's tough. You know, the Heat, the challenge for them was going to be, and it's always been, without that true, like, number one scoring guy. And Jimmy Butler is a number one guy, but from night to night, they may have someone else that leads them in scoring. Who is going to be the guy that steps up and has a great game? And they've been able to kind of do that all playoffs long. And you've had some great storylines for the Heat. And then last night, after the first 6 minutes, everything goes cold. You can't buy a bucket. And then you heard Jimmy in his soundbite. It affected their defensive identity. And their grit kind of disappeared. And they looked like they were a step behind the ball instead of dictating to the offense what they wanted to do. That's just a bad spot to be in. And then when the injuries start to melt, you know, you get to a point where you kind of feel sorry for yourself. Nothing can go right. And before you know it, you're down 25 points. I think Eric Spoelstra and company at this point, they're going to have to figure out actually who's available to them. I think you may have to see them tinker with lineups. And Spo's not afraid to do it. You saw him pull, you know, Iggy out of the mothballs in the last series. And, you know, you have some size over there because the Lakers just look way too big. So they're going to have to do that, and then they're going to have to shore up what they want to do defensively. I think trying to double both AD and LeBron is a mistake. They'll see that when they go to the film today.
Rajah, I think one of the most demoralizing things is when you're up big, like in that first quarter, LeBron goes to take his normal rest in the first quarter, and the backups, and I don't mean backups because there's still Anthony Davis and guys out there, but all of a sudden they bring you back and pull you back into this game. Not LeBron in one of these, you know, NBA Finals moments that we talk about 20 years from now, but the fact that the rest of that team and Anthony Davis brought them back into that game, that's got to be demoralizing for a team that's up that big early. There was three different big runs they went on, but I think out of the three, that was the worst one that happened to the Heat.
Yeah, that, you're absolutely right, and I couldn't figure out if the run was great for the Heat, because you have a relatively, you know, kind of young team, you know, with the heroes and the BAMs and guys who haven't really been in that position before. So you want to get them off rolling into a good start. But if you start off hot like the Heat did, it's, you know, it's a game of averages. That's an unsustainable, like, shooting percentage that they were putting up for the first 6 minutes. So you're going to go cold. And I thought you saw real poise out of the Lakers, and this is why I kind of said, I even said it with you guys, I love the Heat. I think they could get to the finals. I don't know that they could beat the Lakers. The Lakers just have a lot of experience, so there was no panic. You saw a head coach that did not change his rotation at all.
Nope.
Even though they were down, they let LeBron take his normal rest. And to your point, you know, those guys, those veterans, the offense looked better when LeBron went out, at least for those first 3 minutes, and they were able to close the gap. LeBron sat back and was watching what was happening. He's great at that, like a prize fighter, kind of feeling you out. And then when he came back on the floor, you know, they were all systems go.
Anthony Davis is like the biggest mismatch I've seen for the Heat so far. Not taking anything away from LeBron. He had a great game too, but inside or outside, and if you foul him underneath and he doesn't make, he's going to make his free throws. What do you do there? What would be an adjustment going forward with, to help on the 34 he had last night?
That's why they pay Eric Spoelstra and those guys. That's why they're the guys trusted with that, because that's a tough call. He is a mismatch not only for the Heat. He might be the biggest mismatch in the NBA. I mean, him, Giannis, guys with that size-length combination and guard skills, what makes AD so difficult to guard is – you know, where Giannis is, and is he shoots the ball too. So you're really put in a spot with whether you guard him with the big and he takes him out on the floor and plays guard style ball, or, you know, like last night they went small and he really just punished. There were possessions where he had 3 and 4, you know, tip ins to himself and then winds up with the and one. Like, those are demoralizing plays too. I really think Eric Spoelstra and them are going to have to play with the idea of trying to go bigger, see if maybe Kelly Olynyk has some answers. And can counter what AD does just from a physical standpoint, especially if Bam's banged up. Myers Leonard. I don't know what he's looked like in practice. It's been a long time since he played, but you have some bodies, and I think you're going to have to throw some of them at him.
Roger, we know that LeBron, historian of the game, he holds, you know, grudges inside at least for years, like a bitter ex-wife. But at this point, LeBron before the
series
starts.
You don't know about the ex-wife stuff. Why'd you bring that up? Was that
I learned from the best. I learned from the best, Joe.
You had to bring that up, Roger. Right, jeez, right, man. Right.
I spent enough time with Joe Rose.
I thought you had one. I was getting ready. You're going through mine again.
No, just going through your stuff. But considering all that and considering the fact that LeBron and his mental makeup, how much do you think that goes into this of beating the Heat and beating Pat Riley before this whole series started?
Look, if you don't think that LeBron has carved out some kind of reason to have a vendetta, whether it's organic or he's fabricated it by taking little bits and pieces of storylines from when he was here and kind of concocting his own reason. Like, that's what the greats do. They find reasons to have a chip on their shoulder if they don't already have one. And so I don't think LeBron harbors any ill will. Like, I spent some time with LeBron when he got to Cleveland. Miami is a great stop along his journey. It'll always have a place for him, but he has definitely made up something. If he didn't already have it from behind the scenes to want to beat the Heat, it's going to be personal for him. LeBron in this series, as in most series he's in, has more on the line in terms of legacy. The Heat, to some degree, are playing with house money, in my opinion. I didn't expect him to be here. It's in front of them. Like, LeBron and those guys, their window is now. And, they're approaching it like that. You can see it.
Hey, Roger, I'm just curious. How do you bounce back when you get not only your butt kicked around, but you got guys, even if they play, they're not going to be 100%, whether it's Jimmy, Bam, or Dragon. You got guys that are hurting. And you haven't been. You talked about experience. You said it a lot, and I agree with you, by the way. So how do you overcome that? Is it doable at this point after you get kicked around? And now you got to have some question marks in your own head. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, it's tough. I want to be fair to the Heat because I think, you know, they are a tough team by nature. It's what they trained to be. It's the culture that they preach when you walk in the building. They go out and they find players that fit the mold. So nothing in your DNA suggests that you're not going to come out and fight with whoever it is that you throw out there on the floor, right? So I fully expect the Heat to be game. Whatever game plan that Eric Spoelstra and company come up with, they will try to execute to the best of their ability. The problem is, Joe, like, you know, if you don't have the bullets, like, you can't hit the target, you know? And so I think at this point, you are already behind the eight ball with AD and LeBron being as great as they are. And if you're going to tell me that you can't play Goran, and Goran is the linchpin in the conversation for me, because he makes offense happen for the Heat. When the, his ability to play out of pick and roll, his ability to shoot off the bounce in pick and roll forces you to go over the pick and roll, and that puts defenses in a really tough spot. When Jimmy plays pick and roll, it's great. He can score, he can create, but you saw the Lakers going under that, and so that when he's going under, it eliminates his ability to get downhill. And when you can't get downhill, you can't really create for others. So it becomes, I either shoot this jump shot behind the screen or I'm just going to meet LeBron on the other side of the screen. So you're not creating anything offensively. So Goran puts him in a tough spot if he can't play. I just don't think they have enough if you're going to be missing those guys.
Hey, Roger, are you a big fan of the zone? I know Spo's had a lot of success throughout these playoffs with the zone. Now you're playing a little different animal with these guys. But are you a fan of the zone or not?
Yeah, when I played, it was like man code. Like, no one wanted to see a zone. Like, we thought you were, you know, that's just the way we were wired.
Right.
But I like the zone, and I like the fact that Eric Spoelstra and company are unapologetic about it, and it produces, or at least, you know, it produced against Boston. They played more zone than anybody this year, I think. And I would say, and you asked me a question before, I probably should have put this in the answer. They played zone last night, but they didn't look as committed to the zone as they have in the past. And that's typically what happens with zones, right? You hop in the zone, you kind of feel like you shouldn't be in the zone yourself because it's a man-to-man league. And if somebody scores four times in a row, you hop right out of it. I think they might have to stay in the zone. Like, commit to playing the zone more and see if you can ride the wave of jump shots made, because the Lakers went like 0 for 13 from threes, like in the third and fourth quarter last night. They hit a stretch of cold basketball. Just kind of be committed to it, maybe, and without the true personnel, maybe you have to anyway. But I like it.
Yeah, zone's worked for the Heat. There's no doubt about that in the last two, you know, series, especially that Boston series, to see what happens there. Now, what happens in this game two? What's the biggest adjustment outside of worried about the injuries for the Heat? Do you think that they need to pull in this game two to have a chance? Obviously, hitting shots and scoring more points is the number one thing. But what do you do here if Goran is out for the rest of the series? Bam and Jimmy are banged up but still playing. What's the biggest adjustment Raja makes to this team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think first and foremost, defensively, I would want to really philosophically shore up what I'm doing. I think it looked like they tried to double, at least what I saw last night, they tried to double AD, and then they tried to double LeBron in a single possession. I don't think you can do that in the NBA. Guys are too good. Like, zones work against some teams, but flying around really junking it up like that, guys are too gifted. So I would pick one of those guys, probably AD in this series, and just double him. And I'd probably live with LeBron shooting jump shots if I could bait him into shooting jump shots. Like, I'm not going to pressure you. Trapping him out on the floor is a recipe for disaster, because his most brilliant gift of all of them is passing the ball. So if you're gonna double him, like, you know, it's like Pat Mahomes just sitting back there carving you up. So that's where I would start. Offensively, I have to figure out how I'm going to run offense without a true creator in Goran Dragic.
Right.
And guys, like, Heat fans might get a real good look at whether Tyler Hero can be a true combo guard. Like, I might give him the ball and just trust him to create a little bit more out of offense. Kendrick Nunn will certainly have to do a little bit more. And then the third thing is, I'm going to tinker with that lineup. I'm going to see if I can get Olynyk on the floor with Bam Adebayo and be big enough to handle Dwight Howard on the offensive glass and Anthony Davis as an offensive threat. Because Duncan Robinson is great. But if he's not making shots, and he wasn't last night, he is a liability with real scoring size. His defensive deficiency isn't always on display because there are a lot of fours that don't really have the skill set as AD. But when AD's on the floor, you have to have some size and some defensive answers for that.
Yeah, Raja, it's great having you, man. We really appreciate it. We do, man. It's looking like American Heritage Plantation is going to have a basketball season. If they're playing football, we're playing basketball there, man.
That's what I'm talking about. We got a brand new gym too, Joe. You got to come out and check us out, man. It should be fun.
Look at that.
That's awesome, man. That is great. Yes, how's the team, by the way? How's that team over there? Is it a good group? Can you win with it?
Yeah, we got a good group. We were young last year, Joe. We had a bunch of sophomores that had to play a lot of basketball. We lost two of our elder statesmen through the year, football like concerns and transfers, but our young kids are a year more experienced, man. They've been working really hard and we're excited. So
does it, Rajay, can I just ask you a follow up if you don't mind? You don't mind me talking to high school, do you, for a second here?
No, I love high school. Yeah.
So does it bother you when you got a really good team and a guy goes, I'm going to the, cause I know Pat has to deal with this. And I know you talked to Patrick Surtain. I mean,
yep.
He loses maybe the best defensive player in Broward County, goes last second and goes to St. Tom. Like, I know you're going, all right, it's part of the new game that we have here in the state of Florida and South Florida. Does it bother you, or do you just, like, I know how competitive you are. Like, are you like, oh, it's all right, man, if you don't want to be with this, go ahead. I'll just take these young guys who want to be here. What's your mindset there?
That was a tough pill for us to swallow because that was our best player as well, you know? So it was – that was a tough one for us, and it does hurt a little bit. I mean, it's human nature, you know. You feel like you could do some stuff. Your record, or at least ours, was pretty daggone good prior to that, and then it goes away really quickly because you walk into practice the next day and you got a group of guys looking at you like, well, you know, we're still here, and what are we going to do? And so, their effort and their commitment, the kids that were still there, the way they worked through it, and even if we weren't ready to win because they were young and learning on the job, like you're invested with them. So you quickly shift focus to like, let's get this done and figure out how this group can win and just pour the resources in. And again, you know, a year later, we're going to be a lot better for it. It sucked at the time, but a lot of those kids got to play and got on job experience that's going to prove, you know, and provide dividends this year. So we're cool.
Raja, thanks, man.
Awesome.
You do a great job. Any kid in his right mind that wants to learn the fundamentals of both ends of basketball doesn't come and play for you. And I don't do the recruiting stuff because I don't want anybody mad at me. But they're always mad at me anyway. You go play for Raja Bell at American Heritage Plantation.
All right.
And you know you're going to get the most out of your game, man. Thank you, Raja.
Appreciate that, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, that was Roger Bell joining us here for a couple minutes. I'm not even going to call
him, by the way,
NBA analyst. I'm going to say that American Heritage head coach.
Your kid's going to learn how to play defense while he's, like, coming in. And he says, like, you tell him you can score. And Roger's going, I'm going to show you how to play defense, too.
Right, right.
Not a bad way to go. Hey, great stuff from Roger, man. Really appreciate it. I get in trouble anyway for accusing. Everybody accused me of the recruiting stuff. So it really doesn't matter.
Right.
But I do want to talk about sports-related injuries because there's one thing we can all agree on, especially when people ask me, where do the pros go when they get injured? Where do all these athletes go? And last night watching the Heat, like, who's going to see him? I go, Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute doctors are going to take care of all of them. As far as that goes, when people ask me where the pros go, Inter Miami soccer team, professional soccer team. Yep, they go there. Florida Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. Listen, they got a great group of doctors. Unbelievable facility down in Coral Gables. It's better known as Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables as well. And I want to let you know, man, like top athletes from all over. So I'm getting my knee scoped. I'm going in to find out what's wrong with my knee. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at NFL guy, NBA guy, and one of the top tennis players, and I'm not allowed to say names, but a really good tennis player. They're all in there. And they say, Joe, please, all we ask is, because Doc's going to see you, but they don't want you bothering these guys. I go, man, I've been drinking coffee. I want to talk. They go, no. Listen, there's no question about it why they go there. Because if they're getting a second opinion and it's surgery, they're getting their surgery done. They're getting a proper rehab so they can get back out playing the sports they love the most for every part of the body. Yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere else, man. I want you to go there too. They're set up in Broward, state-of-the-art facility going up at Hard Rock Stadium. Hey, all you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today to see some of the top sports doctors for every part of the body right here in South Florida.
Green, little hesitation, now drives. Nice pass out to Davis for three. That's a difficult pass with his offhand. James up top to Kuzma. Fakes, drives, gets inside, finds Davis for the slam. James gets inside, goes reverse, left-handed. And it's back up 91-63. He's got 17 points, 9 boards, and 7 assists. James against Jones. Backs in, here comes the help. Spins away from that, and an easy layup. The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals. Here in the bubble, they continue their excellent play. A dominant victory led by their two stars,
The final score is an 18-point advantage, but they led by as many as 32.
Yeah, we're better than we showed tonight. Now, this is a very, you know, highly skilled, talented team. They have guys at the point of the attack in James and Davis that are going to break your defense down, can make plays over the top. So you have to be on a string, and you can't start to make things up. You have to be extremely disciplined and stay with it. There's too many times that they got us out of our typical things that we do, but that's also a big time credit to them.
Eric Spoelstra talking about the game last night. I don't know what else there is to be said. Rajah Bell breaking it all down. We really appreciate him joining us this morning, talking about everything going on and now trying to figure out which guys are going to be able to play tomorrow night and which guys aren't. And the guys that want to play, are they going to be healthy enough to help you win, or are they going to be detrimental to this team? So all that stuff comes into play, man. And so we'll see what happens. They get set for game two after getting kicked around pretty good after the first 5 or 6 minutes of that game. Hey, by the way, we got some news coming in. Zach, tell us what Adam Schefter's sending out right now.
Adam Schefter, about 4 minutes ago, tweeted out a text from one league source this morning on the scheduled Steelers-Titans game. Quote, hearing Monday is off the table. So it looks like at this point, if it's going to get played, we're going to get a little Tuesday night football action.
Well, listen, you got to play the game. Right. I mean, I know you got to get it approved with the union before you go doing this, because
he also just tested out. There was another positive test in Tennessee this morning, per source.
That's not good.
That is not good at all.
Ooh.
Right. Hold on. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network just tweeted out 1 minute ago, the NFL is now rescheduling Steelers-Titans game to later in the season after an additional Titans player and one personnel tested positive for COVID-19. It will not be played in week 4.
Wow.
So there you go. So instead of Tuesday night football, it looks like we're getting something down the line.
The test, everybody's going to have the same thing. Don't think it. All of a sudden, Tennessee went out just partying one night. I just think everybody's going to have – it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to get in. And we've been – listen, till this happened, and we thought they might get in Monday or Tuesday.
Right.
And more tests, so – oh, God.
That's crazy. Another positive test for Tennessee. Not good for what's going on right now, because literally back-to-back texts or tweets from Schefter and now from Tom Pelissero – it's leaking out all the information, especially about Tennessee, what's going on there.
We got a game, as far as I know, all set up here. Russell Wilson coming to town and everything around this game and stuff. We'll have a lot of it tomorrow, matter of fact, on our show tomorrow as well, talking about the Dolphins game coming up and the Russell Wilson show and the MVP start that he's off to has been just unbelievable. But you know, it's kind of lost in everything. I just want to bring this up, just working on a game last night. Like everybody goes, oh, the Dolphins. I go, listen, man, they're going to have a chance to win this game. I go, well, why are you saying that? Because their pass defense is giving up 430 yards a game. I've never heard. Like, you meant 430 yards for, no, 430 a game is what they're giving up in the air. It might not be pretty. Their run defense is good. You still got to try to run it a little bit, but I really believe that you're in a situation that you got to go throw it. Just throw it. You got to do what everybody else is doing, because it's looking like Byron Jones is not going to play.
Right.
You're going to have your hands full. That matchup with DK Metcalf, who is just a freak of nature, big, strong, fast. The guy's averaging almost 25 yards a catch. And you're going, whoa, what's he got, 3 catches? No, he's averaging almost 100 yards a game, to give you an idea. And it's really turned out, even had the bonehead play of the year by jogging in the end zone and getting stripped from behind. They ended up not getting any points on the play. But that matchup is good. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Right now, Russell Wilson's tearing up everybody. He's chewing everybody up in the league. But there's no reason offense – can't score points. Right. No reason they can't have success from that standpoint. So I'm just looking at it. I think this will be a good game. And they give up a lot of points. They're scoring a lot. Don't get me wrong. Again, the Russell Wilson show, and they got a big advantage at quarterback. Nobody going to quit, because right now anybody who plays against him's got that, the way he's playing with his 14 touchdowns and only one interception. But their defense is bad. It's bad in the pass.
Yep.
And it's going to be a chance for a lot of guys to have big games. And so we'll see how that all goes. By the way, some great comments we haven't talked about with Ryan Fitzpatrick, too. He did a podcast and came out and said that Tua Tagovailoa is got a chance to be really good. And he goes, he makes throws that I can't make. So they're like, and it was great. Like, what do you mean? He goes, well, first of all, like, he's a student of the game, wants to know, ask great questions, a leader of men, the guys like being around him, all the stuff you want to hear. He says, but his anticipation and his accuracy are for real. And I was just like, man, this is a guy starting a quarterback that's letting everybody know the kid's getting closer and closer. Like, while I'm trying to win games, I also, a second part of mine is to share everything I have with them. It's just weird, right? It's just crazy to hear, because Ryan Fitzpatrick knows when you talk to him, like, hey, how's Tua doing? Right, how close is he to taking over your job?
Yep.
He goes, hey, man, I don't know when it's going to be. That's up
but
to the
coaches.
But he knows
it's going to happen soon, right?
I know it's going to happen, yeah. Yeah. But I'm doing everything I can. He's going to learn a lot more from Ryan Fitzpatrick than you can learn from the coach. And I don't mean it as a shot, because I saw what Don Strock did for Dan Marino in a very respectful way. It's nothing against our coaches that we had back then, but the guy that taught him how to look guys off, where to go. I mean, Don Strock.
It was a big help, right, of course.
And so you say that,
you hope the same thing's happening with Tua and Fitz. That's
so
it.
So it's just it's a pretty cool thing that's going on there, and I don't know when it's going to be. I'm tired. Look, I get asked every day. I'm at a point like it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't. And then everybody's got their own opinion, which is great. That's what sports are about. Why isn't he playing? Or why'd rest him? He must not be happy. And then there's a conspiracy theories that he's not really, ready to play, and because he's not healthy enough and all that. I don't think that's the case. They wouldn't leave him by himself as a backup quarterback like that if they didn't. But I just think it's fantastic, man. Every time Ryan Fitzpatrick opens his mouth about something, I mean, you can be frustrated he's not playing, whatever side of the fence you're on. But I love Ryan Fitzpatrick, man. I love what he stands for. He's put two games together after the third game to start. Not turn the ball over, and you can kind of see, like, we like him. Can you imagine what the coaching staff thinks of him?
Right, as teammates, come on, right, so, everyone in that locker room.
And he owns that team. That team is on both sides of the ball. They're all in on Ryan Fitzpatrick,
of course,
and that is part of it. I saw somebody said yesterday, if the Redskins don't make a change of quarterback, they're going to lose that team. And it is so important, man. If your quarterback's not playing well and the team knows it and they think there's somebody better, it can get and Ron Rivera and all these coaches know that. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, man. Right, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Hey, we'll come back. Hit the text machine, 305-567. 0560, jump into it. I know we've hit a lot of basketball today and some baseball. Got a lot of football stuff getting set for the weekend, even without the best game. Even without Tennessee and Pittsburgh looking like they're not going to play that game. But we're going to have it down here, man. We're going to have a game happening down here. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Hey, listen, I talk about South Florida Chevy dealers all the time. I spend a lot of time telling everybody about my Tahoe, and they ask, well, what do you like? What is it? Like everything, man. I like having a lot of space. I'm a big guy, and I like jumping in to a nice, big, beautiful, comfortable, safe SUV like a Tahoe. Oh, the Chevy Tahoe. My gosh. Just great. I'm a decade now of being in Tahoes, and I tell you, they're fun. I know they're fun because my kids always want to jump. Let's take your Tahoe. Let's go. All right. Hey, listen, it's not just that. We got Chevy Open Road Sale event. And more importantly, we got 2020 best overall products, I think by far, they've ever had. When you think of things that are really important to you, more space, safety features, a great price, and a great look, man, they got it figured out. Plenty of space, no matter what size. I could tell you about the new midsize SUVs as well. If you don't like the tall, want something smaller, the Traverse might just be what you're looking for. Still spacious enough to accommodate the big family, yet doesn't compromise any of the style. And how about our smaller SUV, the Equinox? It's got, the active safety features, the technology, the fun-to-drive performance you're going to get, you're going to love. And the 2020 Chevy Blazer is on fire. Yep, the best for last. Wow, is it got a smoking hot look for a midsize SUV. The new Chevy Blazer. Never looked anything like this, man. You're going to love it. And those Silverado trucks are just crying for you. Did I mention the Chevy Open Road Sale event is on? Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Hey, go get a great deal. Take a test drive. You're going to love the way you're treated, man. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer. Do it today. All right, everybody. I hope you're over last night, man. Kind of bouncing back. Take a deep breath. Okay. All right. Got game two tomorrow night. We're okay. It's not over yet. We're in the finals. Let's not forget where we are. Feel good about it. Marlins get their first win. 17 years. Wow. That's the way you end a drought, man. Get that first win against the Cubs. Of course, the Dolphins have Seattle this weekend. Canes have the week off, have Clemson next week. So that's going to be fun next week. Something else to look forward to. But real quickly, want to check in on the text machine. 305-567-0560. Zach, what do we have, man?
First text says the Titans must have been at the Elbow Room last weekend.
Man, they've been showing pictures of the Elbow Room. It's so funny.
I know.
It's so funny. We always talk about the Elbow Room. They went all in, man. It is. Yeah, everybody knows the Elbow Room.
Right. And by the way, through all the texts and tweets that were coming out from all the NFL writers, the NFL did come out with a official statement. It said the decision to postpone the game was made to ensure the health and safety of the players, coaches, and game day personnel. The Titans facility will remain closed, and the team will continue to have no in-person activities until further notice.
Early bye week.
Right, that's it. That's what it looks like right now, right. So there you go with that latest news on that one. I think if the Heat are going to win this championship, they got to dig deep on defense. Offense got us here, but now I think Jimmy and the boys have to figure out a way to slow them down and get physical with them. It's the Hollywood approach so far. Get physical with these guys. Big bodies out there.
Zach, I get it, man. I'm sure Spo has – this guy has made as good of adjustments as anybody.
As anybody, right. You are correct, right.
It's time to slow this thing down, though, right, kind of drag this into the mud. I mean, this just has to become a physical – I mean, the Heat are going to have to match what the Lakers did to him because they got bullied in that game. You know, so if that means going down your bench and start bringing in guys and start hacking people and sending a message, whatever you got to do, but you can't get bullied.
What are you doing? What do you think we're going to do, an old Pistons-Bulls
no,
game?
No, Joe, the Heat got bullied around in that game last night. There's no question about that. I mean, they got all those big bodies, and we keep talking about that, but guys like Dwight Howard, and they're just throwing their bodies around and playing physical. The Heat are going to need to find a way to match that.
How about just trying to slow down Anthony Davis a little bit?
You can't, though. That's the problem. Because there's no slowing these guys down. That's why these guys average what they average. You're not going to slow them down, but you need to be physical with them, and you need to make them pay when they go to the basket.
Anthony, every time I watch Anthony Davis, I think he's got the easiest road to a 30-point game of anybody I've seen. He can shoot from the outside. If he gets the ball inside, they alley-oop to him all the time to get the ball. And I'm not just talking about throwing it down. Catch it and then take it back up. So you either foul him or he makes it. If you foul him, he makes all his free throws. Yeah, that's a tough matchup, man. That's a rough one.
Right. A little bit of positivity coming out. Heat Nation not discouraged after game one. They'll bounce back. They're going to win game two. There you go. A little prediction there for game two.
Let me tell you, they bounce back and they win this game considering everything that they just went through last night, not just the butt kicking, but all the injuries, that's going to be impressive. Because you got to figure, even if some of those guys play, how healthy are they? How healthy are they to be at their best? So,
Lakers are 7.5-point favorites as it sits right now. And we don't. We still don't know who's going to be in the lineup for the Heat.
Right.
Right.
Could be more if one or two of those guys
I mean, just short of miraculous if the Heat came back in one game, too, though.
Do you believe
in miracles? Am I going that far by saying that? Like, I don't. I mean, again, unless they start, you know, matching that physicality and start hammering these guys and send a serious message, it's going to be very tough for them.
I would agree. Yep. It's going to be tough.
A tough one.
Bouncing back from that.
Someone asked if your unibrow was as long as Anthony Davis's.
In my day, I was pretty impressive. Mine, before I started waxing it and plucking it, it was impressive, man. I'm not going to. They used to, oh, my God. They, between my gap and my one eyebrow, I had more nicknames. I asked them if they could just come up with two nicknames because they had so many for me.
You should have been the Unigap.
Oh, they were killing me, man.
Right.
See, it's unfortunate you didn't have a good marketing guy because Anthony Davis has done very well with his brow. You know,
look at Strahan.
I mean,
Strahan's known for the gap. Right.
You had two freakish features that you could have capitalized on, man.
I wasn't one of the best guys on my team, so it's kind of hard. It's a lot easier when if I'd have been better, maybe it would have helped. But, I mean, I was just – but I'll tell you one thing you learn, because I also I remember when I got here, apparently I yapped a lot. And so they're like, hey, you know, rookies, you guys don't be bailing out on us. You're singing at dinner again tonight. And so a lot of guys took off. They just didn't feel comfortable being in front of all the players, and you're new in this place you just got drafted to. And I was like, I'll sing it. What do you want? They go, Cal Fight Song. And I started putting other schools in there, and we had some guys from Stanford. I used to go, we'll kick Stanford's ass again because they got players just like you. And I point, and they were like, oh, sit down. You're a jerk, dude. Sit down. So I realized they stopped because they thought I liked it. I didn't like it, but David Woodley was like not eating or like try to not take a shower and run over and grab a sandwich and sprint out of there before the guys got there. And they're like, where's Woodley? I go, hey, man, David, you got to face these guys, man. It's not going away. So – yeah, I was just
face the fears. That's
but they got me, man. They were relentless. My eyebrow and my gap, just terrible.
Can I ask you just really quick, Joe, before we wrap things up here? At what point did you start like working on your weird features? Like, when did the eyebrow go? When did you get your dental work done? Like, at what point did you realize you looked like a freak and you wanted to get that stuff fixed?
It's a great point. TV 22 years ago.
Oh, really?
TV. Wow. And the guy that said, you got to do something about was Dan Marino. He said, dude, I got to talk to
Tony Segretto. Yeah.
No, he goes, no, a lot of people would never say anything to you, but I had this huge gap. And he's like, dude, listen, man, if you're going to be on TV, look, it's one thing if I'm rooming with you for football games and you're drunk and staying all night at my house and stuff, but like, you got to get that gap and that eyebrow fixed, bro. It looks bad on TV. Like, dude, nobody's – he just tell you the truth. So I went down and fixed it, and next thing I know, I waxed that eyebrow for the first time. But, boy, I'll tell you what, if I give it any time, it wants to come back strong, man. So
what'd they do to your teeth? There, they strap some braces on those things?
No, they just extend the
give you a retainer or something?
They pull it back in, right? They pull it back in.
You guys, this is very personal. You guys are making fun and laughing and stuff, man.
Well, let's make fun of Hollywood before we leave.
No, it's a beautiful story, man. You looked like a freak, and now you're good looking again.
We'll end with this one. Hollywood, for fantasy, how are the Sausages dealing with the Titans-Steeler game delay?
I don't care. Okay. That's hilarious. We got to go.
All right. Hey, man, we're out of here. Levy and Stu Gotts coming up next. Have a great day, everybody. Keep believing, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.